Check. Hey.
Drive yourself right up the wall. Someone hears and no one calls. It's a useless day. It's a boring way.
You're listening to Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. I'm your host, Dave Constantino, joined with Adam Pelche. We're also syndicating across several different stations throughout Canada. We just ended off that set. We're playing side two of the Replacements' Let It Be album in celebration of its 40th anniversary. But as we usually do when we do this sort of thing, we play it made up of different versions of the songs mixed with some album versions. And that last track was the song Answering Machine, which ends the album. But also, that's a different version. We heard a demo version.
Yeah, this and the preceding song that we heard can both be found off of the 2008 Deluxe Edition that was reissued along with a remaster of the proper record. And it's interesting that in spite of the band articulating that there were many more songs recorded during these sessions, very few outtakes or alternative recordings have ever actually made light of day. Perhaps with this anniversary later this year, we might see some come to the surface or the band release more. But at this point, this is pretty much what we have for alternative versions and recordings of songs from Let It Be. This particular version of Answering Machine is a demo that was recorded by Paul Westerberg on just a home recorder.
Yep.
A really great version, though. It's pretty much complete, and in a lot of ways, not too much different from what you would hear on the album version, since that was really just Westerberg and his guitar.
That's right. Before that, we heard an alternate vocal version of the song 16 Blue. Now, it is a little different, though. I think there might be a different guitar take, or maybe it's just mixed differently.
And it might be, because I feel the piano part is a lot more prominent on the proper record. And this is one of the other songs that was very surprising, hearing this sort of, not exactly a ballad, but this very contemplative song that was with piano, that was just Westerberg waxing poetically about the confusion of being 16 and being young. And I think, as I mentioned, with a lot of other albums that we've talked about this year and in previous years, such as the first Violent Femmes record or There's Nothing Wrong With Love by Built to Spill, just one of those records that really encapsulates the feeling of youth, the kind of confusion and wonder that comes with that age. And this song is just really the best demonstration of it. Again, as you mentioned, that's an alternative vocal take. I would argue with some other mixing differences as well. Again, found off of the deluxe edition of Let It Be, released in 2008. Prior to that, though, we heard something again from For Sale Live at Maxwell's from 1986.
Yeah, we heard the track, which is, you know, also poking fun at classic rock and the ridiculousness of the lyrics. Gary's Got a Boner.
Now, this is a very different version. There's no way we could have played the album version because there's some particular language on it. I don't think we, you know, passed the flag. But luckily, Westerberg kept it in check a little bit for this version. And yeah, it is taking a riff from an old Ted Nugent song and reworking it, and is kind of a parody or like a stab at the sort of hypermasculinity of a lot of that chauvinistic rock that was coming out at the time. While also, I think it's not just a straight-ahead attack, and this is why I appreciate it, because it's also acknowledging young people growing up listening to that sort of rock do get something from it. There is a sort of hyper-identification or fantasy play going on there that the song both articulates and pokes fun of, but I think it treads the line in between enough where it's a good homage without outright being an attack on that sort of music, and it definitely shows how that became incorporated with a lot of indie rock and alternative rock at that point. Again, I think some of their peers and bands like Husker Du and Minutemen also did something very similar. But yeah, great stuff there. And then we heard two more songs. Actually, the one preceding that was from the album proper. It was the mainly instrumental song, Senior Video.
Yeah, the first half of the song basically is instrumental. And we were talking about it. It has a little bit of a Clash thing going on. Sounds a lot like some of the songs on their Black Market Clash album.
Yeah, maybe Sandinista a little bit. I do love the angularness of it. And it really is just a screed talking about commercial bands, just saying how we hate your phony rock and roll. And you know, this song ended up on so many mixtapes back in the day, preceding whatever punk rock, indie rock mix people were making. And rightfully so, it kind of became an anthem for indie rock and alternative rock heads. And then we started things off with the track that opened side two of the original record. This one, a live rendition of the track Unsatisfied. What a fantastic song, and what a great rendition. This one taken from a live session at the Cabaret Metro, which was released in 2023 on the Tim Let It Bleed edition of that re-released album. And there's not too much more to say about this record because I feel, unlike a lot of other anniversaries we talk about, there's not too much tumultuous history or anything really salacious to get into. Like, the making of this record was fairly smooth and uneventful. It just happened to create one of the most iconic records of indie rock and punk rock in that era, and went on to influence a range of different artists. Like, we brought up Nirvana, we brought up Parquet Courts, Guided by Voices, of course, would be one. There's just so many to name, it's actually hard to articulate.
And something that's interesting that when I was reading up on this recently, the album kind of set out to subvert a lot of the rock and roll genres, whether underground or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it wound up reinventing rock, underground rock, alternative rock. Alternative rock wasn't a thing yet. This album and the single I Will Dare specifically would wind up getting the band signed to Sire Records, which would put them on a major label distributed through Warner. And, you know, then they would be out in the open more because they had a larger, support from the majors. But this was the album they made that kind of made people recognize them differently.
Agreed. And it redefined the band. I think it redefined a whole generation of what this sort of music could be. And yeah, we reference bands like Pavement, Nirvana quite a bit. You know, if it wasn't for this record and some other key records that came out in 1984, again, Double Nickels on the Dime by Minutemen, mm-hmm. and Zen Arcade by Husker Du, the evolution of this type of independent rock would be vastly different. And yeah, this is just a very important record, and I'm very proud that we got to play a version of this on this episode. But we still have a lot more to get to. In fact, we have another anniversary we're going to be celebrating. This one is 60th anniversary from the debut records from the Kinks.
Yeah, we're going to hear a pair of tracks from that a little later in this set. But we're actually going to start off with a little bit of a musical tribute here to Kris Kristofferson, outlaw country musician and actor and performer.
And vampire hunter.
He liked to call himself a writer, mm-hmm. because that's where he started writing.
Well, I saw that documentary called Blade, so I know he was a vampire hunter as well.
At one point he was, but he wrote these great songs. And then, of course, he was also a human rights activist. He stood for a lot of things.
Oh, yes.
When a lot of people wouldn't. And he had played with many different people. He wrote songs for a lot of different people. Maybe one that comes to mind, obviously, is Sunday Morning Coming Down. Johnny Cash did it.
Of course, there's also Me and Bobby McGee, famously covered by Janis Joplin. We're actually going to play another song from his debut record that was also covered much more successfully than his version ever charted. But then, through this word of mouth of him as a songwriter, he became kind of an in-demand behind-the-scenes songwriter, and I think only later on in his career would be valued and really praised for his performances, which is a shame because with this presence he had, this charisma of his voice, it's no wonder he was able to make the transition into acting because it was just so incredible. And you see his work going through these films throughout the 1970s and onward. Mm-hmm. He was always fantastic, always a presence. And honestly, in spite of being labeled as an outlaw country performer, his debut record, simply titled Kristofferson, because of its tone and its mood, reminds me so much of early Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, it's got a lot to it. And we're going to play a pair of tracks from that. And then we're also going to hear one track from his 1971 album, The Silver-Tongued Devil and I. So I think we should just get started. What are we going to start off with, Adam?
We're going to start off with Help Me Make It Through the Night, a song that would go on to be covered to greater infamy than Kristofferson's original version. But here is the debut original version of it from 1970s, Kristofferson, here on Revolution Rock.
Take the ribbon from your hair, shake it loose and let it fall. Laying soft upon my skin, like the shadows on the wall. Come and lay down by my side till the early morning light. Your time. Help me make it through the night. I don't care Yesterday is dead and gone, and tomorrow's out of sight, and it's sad to be alone. Help me make it through the night. Help me make it through the night. Through the summer rain, trying to catch the evening train and kill that old familiar pain, weaving through my tangled brain. But when I tipped my bottle back, I smacked into a cop I didn't see. That police man said, "Mr. Cool, if you ain't drunk, then you're a fool." I said, "If that's against the law, tell me why I never saw a man like in that jail of yours who wasn't just as low down poor as me." Well, that was when someone turned out the lights, and I wound up in jail to spend the night and dream of all the whining lonely girls in this best of all possible worlds. Well, I woke up next morning feeling like my head was gone, and like my thick old tongue was licking something sick and wrong. And I told that man I'd sell my soul, something wet and cold is that old cell. That kindly jailer grinned at me, all eaten up in sympathy, then poured himself another beer and came and whispered in my ear, "If booze was just a dime a bottle, boy, you couldn't even buy the smell." I said I knew there was something I liked about this town, but it takes more than that to bring me down, down, down. 'Cause there's still a lot of wine and lonely girls in this best of all possible worlds. Well, they finally came and told me they was gonna set me free, and I'd be leaving town if I knew what was good for me. I said it's nice to learn that everybody's so concerned about my health. I said I won't be leaving no more quicker than I can, 'cause I've enjoyed about as much of this as I can stand, and I don't need this town of yours more than I never needed nothing else. 'Cause there's still a lot of drinks that I ain't drunk, lots of pretty thoughts that I ain't thought. Oh yeah, Lord, there's still so many lonely girls in this best of all possible worlds. Myself down to the Tally Ho Tavern to buy me a bottle of beer, and I sat me down by a tender young maiden whose eyes were as dark as her hair. And as I was searching from bottle to bottle for something unfoolish to say, that silver-tongued devil just slipped from the shadows and smiling stole.
girl. Don't you know he's the devil? He's everything that I ain't. Hiding intentions of evil under the smile of a saint.
The silver-tongued devil.